On behalf of Jack Berkman, the whole Berkman family, the Berkman familial family, the Berkman Center family, on behalf of President Summers, Dean Kagan, Terry Fisher, director of our center, John Zittern, John Palfrey, all of the Berkman Fellows, all of the Berkman staff, welcome to the Ames Courtroom, real and virtual. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Jake Shapiro. Jake.
Thank you, Professor Nesson, and welcome Beyond Broadcasters. Thank you for coming. This is a tremendous turnout. We've definitely achieved one of our goals already. We were really hoping to kind of pull together a really cool, unique mix of public broadcasters and social media makers and technology developers and a whole bunch of you who are clearly beyond categorization or taxonomy, I guess, as they would say. I hope you've had a chance to check out the wiki attendee list of your fellow attendees. It's really a remarkable one. We've got, you know, from KQED to Chicago Public Radio to WGBH here. We've got from Digital Bicycle to something called the Public Interest Entertainment Corporation, which I'm interested to learn a little more about. NPR is in the house, so is Facebook and Witness and Rocket Boom, to name a few that would make for an interesting coffee break chat. So even if you've got the biggest blog role in the room, I doubt you know half the folks here, and there are dozens and dozens of people that I know I'm looking to learn more about. And we tried to build a couple days where there's a lot of opportunities for exactly that. We set out a couple other goals for this convening. One was to just get a sense of the latest ideas and projects and models that are emerging faster than anybody can really keep track of. Later this evening, we'll have demos and drinks where you really get a chance to see that, and then tomorrow there's a lot of discussions around that as well. But a second goal we had is to help cultivate a shared understanding of the potential for a renewed public media role in society. And the thesis that we've been sort of teasing out as we've tried to pull this together, as we've started to plan this event, is that there is tremendous potential at the intersection of public and participatory media. And when I'm talking about public media at this point, in that phrase, I'm talking about traditional public media, the sort of public broadcasting ecosystem and local community and radio and television. But with participatory media, you've got this exploding world of technology and social software and self-distribution, accessible tools of creation and dissemination. You've got these 40 million blogs and the blogosphere doubling every 6 months. You've got 50 million iPods out in the hands of people and podcasting starting to take off. You've got Web 2.0 ventures that are, you know, being invested in and launched and building up a lot of hope and a fair amount of hype about the potential for a more open and expressive and global internet experience. And you've got giants like the Googles and Yahoos of the world trying to harness it all for us. And it's creating profound changes in media and in politics and in culture. But a question we have to ask is this, is this adding up to some kind of a new public media, a third zone of some sort that's not quite commercial or non-commercial? It's generating its own communities, kind of a peer-to-peer civic engagement, perhaps. And you have to ask if it satisfies this need for a society to understand its place in the world and itself. Does this social media have a social mission, is one question I'm very curious about. About 6 months ago, Al Gore had given a speech about the media where he was warning that something has gone basically and badly wrong in the marketplace of ideas in America, that the strangeness of our public discourse is putting American democracy in grave danger, as he put it. And I think he was definitely talking about this disconnect between reality as we live it and feel it and as it's being reported or reflected in the mainstream media. And largely he's bemoaning commercial television, except, of course, for his own new network, which he recently launched called Current. And for a guy who invented the internet, he's pretty skeptical that the internet actually could possibly make a dent in the national discourse at this point, which is a remarkable statement. So the question is this flourishing of these new networks and conversations a solution to that disconnect? Or is it just sort of some kind of embarrassment of niches? And this is where you start thinking about the traditional public media, about the institutional public media, this ecosystem of public broadcasting stations and networks and producers, community television and radio. Could the traditional and perhaps this new participatory emerging public media align to create something that taps into that immense energy and openness and expression and connection of the web while making use of the real strengths of these existing institutions of public media? You have the strengths of their public service goals, their core values and their creative capacity, their brands and their trusted relationships with tens of millions of people across the country, their deep local roots of stations, the powerful broadcast reach that they still enjoy. That's one of the potentials, but I see a real risk of these paths staying on parallel tracks or perhaps eventually diverging. And it could be due to just the limitations of imagination, of infrastructure, of resources, of culture, and just the broadcast business overall not being something that's that compatible when you really get down to it. Perhaps there's something that we can learn or perhaps avoid from the ways that commercial and mainstream media are starting to deal with this disruption. They're attacking, they're defending, they're co-opting, they're buying, they're innovating. And another worry is that if traditional public media doesn't seize an opportunity to really become a partner, embrace some of these models, that the emerging web-based media will be kind of folded in or absorbed or aggregated into a larger commercial sphere. We perhaps can take some inspiration from the BBC, which I think many of you know just last week unveiled their vision of what they're calling the creative future, embracing a whole range of on-demand tools and participatory models, saying, as they said, that this new world creates new means for the BBC to fulfill its mission. I think they see a clear line from what their role is in society and the way in which the web is developing. And we do have some examples within our own field, certainly. I mean, and you'll hear some of them today. We have Minnesota Public Radio's Public Insight Journalism Project. We've got Radio Open Source as a radio show that's really trying to begin teasing out and blending what's happening online. We have my own organization, Public Radio Exchange, which is sort of pulling in a whole bunch of new voices. We've now seen a rising number of podcasters who've started producing audio in the last 6 months now, starting to figure out how they can work with local radio stations in a partnership. But it's just, all of this is just kind of scratching the surface at this point. It's tempting to think that the open and democratic nature of the web and the innovation that it continues to spawn is some sort of an unstoppable force, that an inevitable and enlightened evolution towards a more interconnected and interdependent and intertwined and better world. One thing that I've learned here at the Berkman Center is that is far from a foregone conclusion. The threats to the internet and its openness are real, they're complex, and they're happening now. So the opportunity that I'd like us to think about today, and one hope is that this intersection that we're trying to take a look at between public and participatory media, that it could fulfill the promise and potential of a democratic and open web, as well as meet the profound need that we have and that public media aspires to meet for a public square in our civic life and culture. Luckily, I don't have to answer any of these questions right now. That's why we put together these wonderful sessions with a lot of smart people and then you to help think about it. So let me tell you a little bit about what we've got coming up. As you can see, this event actually embodies some of what we're trying to focus on. We've got some broadcast-like elements where we have sort of panels and presentations and these demos and things we'll be showing you on the screen. We've got the participatory element. Tomorrow is the sort of unconference convening of the Open Media Developers Group, which I'm hoping most of you will participate in. We've also got a bunch of tools and ways for you to jump in and engage from the safety and comfort of your own chair, right where you are. In fact, as Charlie, I think, alluded to, this event is taking place in several dimensions at once. We're webcasting live right now on the internet. Hi, Mom. She's definitely watching, I know. I told her. Cambridge Community Television is here recording all of this, and they're going to be broadcasting it later, and as well as putting up the video online under a Creative Commons license for anybody who wants to take pieces of it or remix or use parts of that. We have a few documentary filmmakers wandering around as well recording things. And if you're already beyond broadcast, then your avatar is already settling in for the festivities on the Berkman Island where all of this is also taking place. And we'll hear a little bit more about that too. I want to just thank the people who've helped put this together. This has truly been a peer production. The whole notion of planning by committee is a pejorative one, but we actually planned this by committee, and it's a wonderful group, and somehow it came together very smoothly with a lot of positive input from a really diverse group of people. Susie Lindsay from the Berkman Center, Pat Ofterheide from the Center for Social Media at American University, Dan Gilmore from the Center for Citizen Media, Tim Halley from the Project for Open Source Media, otherwise known as POSSUM, Sean Van Every from NYU's Interactive Telecommunications Program, and Steve Schultz from PRX, sort of the core group that has really been planning things. And huge thanks also go to Catherine Bracey, Colin Ryan Smith, Amanda Mickle, Erica George, Radhika Buzescu, and Colin McClay, and all the staff of the Berkman Center for helping manage what has turned out to be a very attractive nuisance, I would say, as this suddenly got to an expanded setting. We thought about a couple weeks ago we might have 100 people here, and now the registration topped out at 300, and I saw people kind of trying to sneak in through the windows during the end of it. They were scalping tickets outside at one point. So let's see. We need to also thank the Amidyar Network, the Center for Social Media, and the Berkman Center for sponsoring this event, and also to Gartner for supporting the Berkman Center's digital media project. Also, the Ford Foundation and MacArthur Foundation for taking a deep interest in this area and supporting many of the projects and organizations involved. So please join me in thanking the organizers and sponsors and yourselves for participating and for making this possible.